Thank you, Bishu, and Saidam to all listeners of Radio Sai. We welcome you to yet another episode of our weekly series, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Dear listeners, if you have been following us, you will know that we are studying the series of discourses Swami gave as part of the summer course, which was held in the year 1990 for the students of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. We've covered three of the discourses. We are in the fourth discourse in that series, and I have the pleasure, as always, of having the company of my brother from Team Radio Sai, Sai Prakash, and of course, this is your friend Prem from Team Radio Sai. We begin this program by offering our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem.
We started this fourth discourse, which is about the senses. And the first discourse we covered, which was about Indian culture, spirituality, Sanskriti. The second and the third discourse was about the human body.
Yes.
Swami extensively spoke about the human body, and now it's come to the senses. And the discourse is titled Mastery of the Senses.
Yes.
And you can see that, you know, the same kind of systematic procedure which we saw in the first discourse about the body, Swami is going into that same, taking the concept of the senses. You know, starting itself, Swami is telling, speaks of the importance, and more than the importance, the difficulty about of controlling the senses.
Correct.
You know, very beautiful Padhyam Swami starts with by saying that you can be a scholar, you can be a person of great wealth, knowledge, leadership, but whoever you are, it is not easy to control the body and the senses. It is not easy to keep the mind in a state of constant introversion and unshakable equanimity.
Correct.
No, very forceful and very powerful Padhyam Swami starts with. And then Swami, you know, very beautifully, you know, if you just look at it, Swami has been speaking about the body.
Correct.
So he starts speaking about the, you know, the senses. And when he starts by comparing the senses with the body. You know, he says, yes, we've spoken about the body till now. And then Swami starts speaking about the senses. Swami says, the senses is inseparable from the body.
Correct.
The senses does not have an existence of its own. But the senses are subtler than the body.
Very beautiful.
And
yes,
is the one which actually gives a certain kind of a value to the,
to body, the
body, certain kind of, you know, if you could say, Swami goes on to say that it is stranger and unpredictable and indescribable even more than divinity itself. And that's what Swami says that.
Yes.
You know, that is the thing, because as we see, the difference between a living body and a dead body is maybe the activity of the senses.
Yes.
The aliveness of the senses.
Correct.
And then Swami goes on to say how beautifully the senses are the window between the body, the Jivatma and the world.
Correct.
Because the body, the senses is the means through which the world enters the body. You know, Swami says that, and then Swami goes on to say that the senses are called matraha, or an instrument.
Measuring instrument.
Measuring instrument. Because it is this instrument which says, which is a good smell, which is a bad smell, which is a beautiful picture, which is an ugly picture, which is good taste and which is bad taste. And then, before Swami goes on to the other meaning of matra, Swami talks about the Ashwamedha Yajna.
Correct.
You know, in detail, very beautifully Swami says, what is the meaning of this Ashwamedha Yajna? Ashwa meaning the horse, the ever, you know, restless, and the Swami says that even when it's sleeping, it stands and it is all the time moving. Okay, and very nicely Swami says, Ashwa means the horse, which is the fickle-mindedness, the fickleness. And Medha means buddhi or intellect.
Correct.
So Ashwamedha means fickle-minded. And then Swami saying, you know, a wonderful statement which Swami made is, to understand the complete meaning of this Ashwamedha Yajna, you should see it in the spiritual sense as well as in the worldly sense.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Swami says Ashwamedha, the spiritual sense is fickle-minded. And Swami says that one who has done the Ashwamedha Yajna is a great hero. So Swami is combining these two and saying the one who has conquered the mind is a true hero.
Wow, that's amazing, because this concept of chariot and charioteer that Swami mentions here, as mentioned in the Kathopanishad, in many discourses Swami has mentioned that the horses are actually the senses,
right,
and the reins that holds the horses is the mind,
right,
and buddhi or the intelligence, that is the charioteer. Yeah. So he says, the senses have to follow the mind. That is, the senses are held by the rein. And the one controlling them is buddhi, the charioteer. Right. So there's some kind of a hierarchy there.
Right.
And apart from just telling, I mean, I'm sure in the course of this discourse, Swami tells us that the senses are fickle and it's difficult to control the senses. But then what is the actual use of the senses? What it should be used for?
Right.
That Swami has told many times, it should be turned inwards. The senses have to be turned inwards. And only when they turn inwards, you get equanimity and you get peace of mind.
Right. And then of course Swami speaks about the other meaning of matraha. Mm-hmm. Means that which is the limiting instrument.
Correct.
And Swami says, why a certain organ is given only for a certain purpose? The ear can only hear, the eye can only see. It also shows that each organ has its certain limit.
Mm-hmm.
No, even in the area in which it functions.
Correct.
The eye should see only what is supposed to be seen. The ear is to hear only what is supposed to be heard. Then Swami says that, yeah, you can hear anything, but you should be prepared to face the consequences.
Imagine, Swami makes that beautiful statement that the wonders, the divine, his acts are wondrous always.
Mm-hmm.
But the sense organs are equally wonderful. And if you just look at it absolutely in a scientific way, we know that in the eyes there are something like 40 lakh light rays.
Right.
Swami mentions that in his discourses. And there are 3 lakh taste buds. I mean, God has planted all this so that you utilize the senses in the way they are meant to be utilized. But he's endowed it with tremendous power.
Right.
And then I think there is the risk that which God took was to give humans the choice. He gave you the choice to do what you want. That he gave that risk to us.
Right. Actually, last week when we were talking about this thing, where we said, when Swami says the instruments are a measuring instrument, you know, that is why you are given that, like suppose you take the example of smell, you are given that thing to know that when a food article is not smelling well, you internally know that it is not meant to be eaten. You know, that is the kind of reasoning which is given to you. So there is a purpose for which the senses have been given. Then again the question will arise that, so we should go by the senses. So the senses can guide you.
Correct.
And that is where the analogy of the chariot is very important. So he says, yes, the horse is meant to take the chariot forward in the direction which is supposed to go. But the mind is the one which has to control. The buddhi is the one which has to control through the mind.
Through the mind, that's
right.
True. That's amazing. And taking this hierarchy further, Swami actually says that buddhi is the son of Atma.
Right.
And the mind is the grandson of Atma.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of completes this entire hierarchy. If you take Atma, buddhi, manas, senses, and then body. So
wonderful.
There is that beautiful hierarchy amongst all these.
Wonderful. So shall we go to the
next
clip? This is the third clip in that discourse, dear listeners. At the end of this clip, we will ruminate on the message which Swami is sharing with us.
For the nose, a particular function is given.
Uchvasa nishvasamu teesukoni aarogyamnu kaapadukotam.
It is meant for inhaling and exhaling and taking care of the health properly.
Sugandha durgandhamulanu nirnayinchi kevalam sugandhamulanu maatrame sweekarinchatamu.
It also decides the fragrant smell or the dirty smell.
ఈ రకమైనటువంటి ఒక నిర్ణీతమైనటువంటి ఒక కర్మను ఆచరించటం నిమిత్తమే ఈ యొక్క నాసికాన్ని అందించాడు.
Nose has been given for this kind of specific purpose.
కానీ దురదృష్టవశాత్తు ఈ నిర్ణయాన్ని ఉల్లంఘించి దీనితో పాటు నష్టం వేసుకోవటం ఈ ముక్కుతో.
Unfortunately, instead of using the nose only meant for the purpose of inhaling and exhaling,
దుర్గంధాన్ని పీల్చుకోవటము
is used for snuffing. And
ఈ రకమైనటువంటి యొక్క విరుద్ధమైనటువంటి కర్మను ఆచరింపచేయటం చేత ఈ యొక్క నిబంధించినటువంటి యొక్క నిబంధనను తాను ఉల్లంఘించినటువంటి వాడవుతున్నాడు.
When one takes a snuff through the nose, he has violated the code.
భగవద్ ఆజ్ఞను ఉల్లంఘించినటువంటి దోషం ఒకటి, ఆరోగ్యాన్ని పడమార్గం పట్టించినటువంటి దోషం మరొకటి. ఈ రెండు దోషములకు గురి కావటం చేతనే ఈ మానవుడు అనారోగ్యం చేత పీడింపబడుతున్నాడు.
అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ వయలేటింగ్ ద కోడ్ లైడ్ డౌన్ బై గాడ్ అండ్ ఆల్సో అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ స్పాయిలింగ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ హెల్త్ హీ ఈజ్ సఫరింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఈజ్ గోయింగ్ టు సఫర్ ఫ్రమ్ వేరియస్.
అదే విధముగానే నాలుక,
ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే ద టంగ్,
ఇది కేవలము ఆహారమును స్వీకరించి
ఇట్ ఈస్ మెంట్ ఫర్
ఆరోగ్యమును పోషించి
అండ్ టేకింగ్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ హెల్త్,
ఆనందమైన వార్తల చేత ఇతర మనసును ఉల్లాసపరచి
అండ్ ఆల్సో ఎంజాయింగ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ గివింగ్ జాయ్,
మధురమైనటువంటి సంభాషణ చేత సంతోషపరచి
టాకింగ్ స్వీట్లీ అండ్ గివింగ్ జాయ్ టు అదర్స్,
తనలో ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క స్వభావములను రహస్యములను వెలువరించడానికి తగినటువంటి అవకాశాన్ని అందించి
ఇట్ ఆల్సో గివ్స్ అన్ ఆపర్చునిటీ టు ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ హిజ్ ఓన్ ఇన్నర్ థాట్స్ అండ్ ఇన్నర్ ఫీలింగ్స్,
గూఢమై ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క తన యొక్క భావములను ఇతరులకు ఉచ్చరింపచేసే నిమిత్తమే అందించినటువంటిది ఈ జిహ్వ.
టంగ్ హాస్ బీన్ గివన్ టు ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ ద మోస్ట్ హిడెన్ సీక్రెట్ థింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ ఓన్ హార్ట్ టు అదర్స్ సో దట్ అదర్స్ మే నో హూ హీ
ఈ రకమైనటువంటి యొక్క సన్మార్గమును అనుభవించి సత్కీర్తిని పొందే నిమిత్తమై అందించినటువంటి ఈ జిహ్వను ఈనాడు మనం దుర్వినియోగపరచుకుంటున్నాము.
టంగ్ విచ్ హెస్ బీన్ గివన్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు యూజ్ ప్రాపర్లీ ఫర్ సచ్ గుడ్ టాస్క్ హెస్ బీన్ మిస్యూజ్డ్ దీస్ డేస్.
మత్తు పదార్థములు స్వీకరించటము,
టేకింగ్ ఫార్ టేకింగ్ ఇన్
మాంసాలను భక్షించటము,
ఫార్ టేకింగ్
సిగరెట్లు బీడీలు చుట్టలు కాల్చటము,
స్మోకింగ్ సిగరెట్స్ అండ్ బీడీస్,
పరదూషణ చేయటము,
క్రిటిసైజింగ్ అదర్స్
పరనిందలు సలపటము,
ఆ కామెంటింగ్ అడ్వర్స్లీ ఆన్ అదర్స్
కఠినమైనటువంటి మాట చేత ఇతరుల యొక్క హృదయాన్ని నొప్పించటము,
హర్టింగ్ అదర్స్ ఫీలింగ్స్ బై యూజింగ్ క్రూయల్
ఈ రకమైనటువంటి యొక్క విరుద్ధమైనటువంటి చర్యల చేత భగవత్ ఆజ్ఞను ఉల్లంఘించటము.
బై ఫాలోయింగ్ దిస్ కాంట్రరీ కోడ్ హీ హాజ్ వయలేటెడ్ ది గాడ్స్ కమాండ్,
నిర్ణయాన్ని ధిక్కరించటము,
అండ్ ఆల్సో గోయింగ్ అగెనిస్ట్
ఈ కారణముల చేత అనేక రకములైనటువంటి బాధలను కూడాను మానవుడు అనుభవించవలసి వస్తుంది.
మ్యాన్ హ్యాస్ టు సఫర్ వేరియస్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ డిఫికల్టీస్ అండ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ మిస్యూజ్.
ఇదే విధముగానే ప్రతి అంగము కూడాను ప్రతి ఇంద్రియము కూడాను తమ నిర్ణయానుసారంగా దానిని సక్రమమైన మార్గంలో అనుభవించటం చేతనే మానవుడు అత్యున్నత స్థాయిని అందుకోగలడు.
మ్యాన్ కెన్ రీచ్ the most exalted state and elevated state by using the sense organs properly.
Indriyamulu undavi kada ani ishtanusaranga deenini viniyoginchukodadu.
Just because he is having sense organs, he cannot go on misusing them. These are all
ఈ అశ్వములను ఏ విధమైనటువంటి దీనిలో ఈ రథం నడపడానికి తగినటువంటి ఉపాయమును తగినటువంటి యొక్క సాధనను మనం అనుభవించాలో దానికి తగినటువంటి రీతిగా మనం ఆచరించాలి.
దిస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్స్, యు షుడ్ హావ్ ది ప్రాపర్ ట్రైనింగ్ ప్రాపర్ థింకింగ్ ఇన్ యూజింగ్ దెమ్ సో దట్ దే విల్ పర్ఫార్మ్ దర్ ఫంక్షన్స్ ఎఫెక్టివ్లీ అండ్ ఎఫిషియంట్లీ.
బండి వెనుకల గుర్రము ముందు ఉంటుండాలి.
యూఆర్ కీపింగ్ ది కార్ట్ బిఫోర్ ద హార్స్.
కానీ ఈనాడు మనము అశ్వములను వెనకలా బండిని ముందు పెడుతున్నాం.
ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ కీపింగ్ ది హార్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫ్రంట్ అండ్ కార్ట్ బిహైండ్ యూఆర్ కీపింగ్ ది కార్ట్.
దీనివల్ల అనేక విధములైనటువంటి ప్రమాదములు కూడా సంభవిస్తుంటాయి.
అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వన్ ఫేసెస్ మెనీ డేంజర్స్.
అట్టుకాక ఇంద్రియములను గౌరవించాలని, ఇంద్రియములను ప్రేమించాలని, ఇంద్రియములను అనేక రకములైనటువంటి ఒక సత్కారము కల్పాలని మనం ఆశించి ఆ బండి లోపల ఇంద్రియ గుర్రములను కూర్చోబెడితే బండి ఏ రీతిగా కదలగలదు.
Suppose you want to just give a lot of respect, honor to the horse and keep the horse inside the cart, how can the cart move?
Manalo indriyamulanu kramakramina balaparchukuntu antarmukhamga danini anagadokkadaniki taginatundi krishi cheyatam ledu.
While developing these sense organs, we are not making effort to introvert
them. Gurramulaku taginatundi pani ivvaka దానిని అమితంగా మేతపెట్టి బలపెట్టడం చేత అది కూడా కొంతవరకు చాలా ప్రమాదం కలుగుతుంది.
వితౌట్ గివింగ్ సఫిషియంట్ అండ్ ప్రాపర్ వర్క్ టు ద హార్సెస్, ఇఫ్ యు గో ఆన్ ఫీడింగ్ దెమ్ దే ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు బికమ్ ఎ ప్రాబ్లమ్ టు యు.
ఈనాడు గుర్రములకు తగినటువంటి పని మనం పెట్టడం లేదు.
వీఆర్ నాట్ గివింగ్ ప్రాపర్ వర్క్ టు ది హార్సెస్.
ఇష్టానుసారంగా కూడాను దానా పెట్టి దాన్ని బలపెట్టి అనేక రకములుగా కూడాను దానిని ఒక మదమెక్కేటటువంటి రీతిగా మనం పెంచుతున్నాం.
We are feeding these horses with unwanted extra stuff and making it very
కనుకనే ఈ గుర్రములు మదమెక్కి
దట్ ఈస్ ద రీజన్ వై దే ఆర్ బికమింగ్
పెడమార్గం పట్టి
దే ఆర్ గోయింగ్
యజమానుడే ప్రమాదంలో ముంచుతుండాలి
అండ్ దే ఆర్ పుట్టింగ్ ది మాస్టర్ హింసెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ టు డిఫికల్ట్ సిచ్యుయేషన్స్
కనుక మన ఇంద్రియములను భగవంతుడు ఇచ్చినటువంటి నిర్ణయానుసారంగా దాన్ని సద్వినియోగంగా అనుభవించాలి
వీ హ్యావ్ టు ఎంజాయ్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ది డిక్టేట్స్ అండ్ ది డెసిషన్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఇన్ ఎ ప్రాపర్ వే
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క సరైన మార్గంలో వినియోగించకుండా ఉన్నప్పుడే ఇది అనేక రకమైన అశాంతికి గురి అవుతున్నాం
ఇఫ్ యూ డు నాట్ యూజ్ దిస్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఇన్ ద ప్రాపర్ వే యూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ స్ట్రైఫ్ అండ్ ల్యాక్ ఆఫ్ పీస్
ప్రపంచంలో అనేక మందికి తెలుసును
మెనీ పీపుల్ నో దిస్
ఒకరికి ఒక భార్య ఉంటేనే ఆ సంసారం చాలా చీకాగ్గా ఉంటుంటారు
ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ వన్ హ్యాజ్ ఓన్లీ వన్ వైఫ్ ద ఫ్యామిలీ మే బి ఫేసింగ్ మెనీ
ఇద్దరు భార్యలు ఉంటుంటే ఇంకా చెప్పనక్కరలేదు
ఈ వన్ హ్యాస్ టూ వైఫ్ వెల్ వన్ కెనాట్ డిస్క్రైబ్ అట్ ఆల్
ఉత్తానపాదులకు ఇద్దరు భార్యలు
కింగ్ ఉత్తాన ఫాదర్ హ్యాస్ టూ వైఫ్స్
కనుకనే ఇక్కడ అనేక రకమైన యొక్క భిన్న అభిప్రాయములు ఆవిర్భవించి కన్న కొడుకునైనటువంటి యొక్క ధ్రువుణ్ణి కూడాను కారణులకు పంపవలసి వచ్చింది
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెన్సెస్ ఆఫ్ ఒపీనియన్ బిట్వీన్ దీస్ టూ వైఫ్స్ కింగ్ ఉత్తాన ఫాదర్ హ్యాడ్ టు సెండ్ ధ్రువ హింసెల్ఫ్ టు ది ఫారెస్ట్
దశరథునకు ముగ్గురు భార్యలు
దశరథ హ్యాడ్ త్రీ వైఫ్స్
ఇతను కూడాను ఈ భిన్నాభిప్రాయముల చేత భార్యను సమర్థంగా వహించడానికి లేక వారిని సరైనటువంటి స్థితిలో ఉంచడానికి సాధ్యం కాకపోవటం చేత భార్యను సంతోషపెట్టాలనేటువంటి ఉద్దేశం చేత కన్న కుమారుడైనటువంటి యొక్క శ్రీరాముని అడవికి పంపి కాయమును కోల్పోయాడు
అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెన్సెస్ ఆఫ్ ఒపీనియన్ బిట్వీన్ ద వైఫ్స్ అండ్ అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ల్యాక్ ఆఫ్ కెపాసిటీ టు కీప్ దెమ్ ఆల్ హ్యాపీ అండ్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ప్లీజ్ దెమ్ హీ హ్యాడ్ టు సెండ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ డియర్ సన్ రామా టు ఫారెస్ట్ అండ్
ఒకరిద్దరు ఉండినటువంటి భార్యలకే ఇన్ని విధమైనటువంటి ప్రమాదం సంభవిస్తుంటే పది మంది భార్యలు ఉండేటువంటి వారికి ఎంత ప్రమాదం గురి అవుతారు యోచన చేయండి
ఇఫ్ టూ ఆర్ వన్ వైఫ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ కెన్ క్రియేట్ సో మెనీ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఫర్ వన్ ఇఫ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టెన్ వైఫ్స్ యూ కెన్ ఇమాజిన్ హౌ మెనీ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ వన్ వుడ్
ఈ మనస్సు అనేటువంటి మహాపురుషులకు పది మంది భార్యలు
ఫర్ దిస్ మ్యాన్ కాల్డ్ మైండ్ దేర్ ఆర్ టెన్ వైఫ్స్
అవే దశేంద్రియములు
అండ్ దోస్ ఆర్ ది టెన్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్
ఒక్కొక్క ఇంద్రియము ఒక్కొక్క దానిని ఆశిస్తుంటారు
One sense organ goes on desiring one object.
ఒక ఇంద్రియము నేను మసాల వాసన వస్తుంది అది మసాల దోశ కావాలంటుంది ముక్కు
One sense organ demands, I would like to have masala dosa. There is a very
నేను సుస్వరాన్ని వినాలి మంచి రేడియో పెట్టమని ఒక చెవులు అంటున్నాయి
The ear commands that it would like to listen melodious music, asks him to keep రేడియో ఆన్
నేనేదో కొత్తగా వచ్చిందట సినిమా ఆ దానిని చూడాలని కనులు ఆశిస్తున్నాయి
The eyes desire to go for a new cinema, which is...
ఈ విధంగా ఒక్కొక్క ఇంద్రియం ఒక్కొక్క దాన్ని ఆశిస్తూ పోతున్నాయి
ఇన్ దిస్ ఫ్యాషన్ ఈచ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్ కోసం
అన్ని ఒకే పర్యాయం ఒక్కొక్క ఇంద్రియం ఆశించినప్పుడు ఈ యజమానుడు దాని ఆశను ఏ రీతిగా తీర్చగలడు
హౌ కెన్ దిస్ మాస్టర్ సాటిస్ఫై సో మెనీ డిమాండ్స్ ప్లేస్డ్ బై దీస్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్
ఈ విధంగా ఆ యొక్క ఇంద్రియముల యొక్క వాంఛనలు తీర్చలేక మనస్సు అనేక రకమైనటువంటి రీతిగా కుమిలిపోతుంటాది
నాట్ బీయింగ్ ఏబుల్ టు సాటిస్ఫై ది డిమాండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ అండర్
ఇంతమంది పత్నీలు కలిగినటువంటి ఈ మనస్సు అనే యజమానుడికి శాంతి ఎక్కడి నుంచి వస్తుంది
హౌ కెన్ దిస్ మైండ్ విత్ టెన్ వైఫ్స్ హ్యావ్
శాంతి అత్యంత దూరంగా ఉంటాది
పీస్ ఈజ్ రాదర్ డిస్టెంట్
కారణము ఈ యొక్క ఇంద్రియముల యొక్క వాంఛనను నెరవేర్చడం చాలా కష్టం
ది రీజన్ ఈజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ రాదర్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు సాటిస్ఫై ది డిమాండ్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్
యా ఇన్ దట్ డిస్కోర్స్ క్లిప్ ఐ థింక్ స్వామి ఈజ్ గోయింగ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్ బై సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్ అండ్ సేయింగ్ యు నో వాట్ ఇట్ వాజ్ మెంట్ ఫర్
కరెక్ట్
అండ్ హౌ ఆల్ వీఆర్ మిస్యూజింగ్ ఇట్ యు నో స్వామి ఈజ్ లిస్టింగ్ అవుట్ స్టార్ట్స్ విత్ ద నోస్ He says what was meant for inhaling and exhaling, which is one of the most important, duties given to a sense organ. But that, taking snuff and smoking and, Swami goes into that. What is important is, again, Swami is coming back to that point where it is given to distinguish between good and bad smells.
Mm.
For the purpose of preserving one's health.
Correct.
Mm. Right? It does have this duality built in it, but that is to preserve the health of the body.
Purpose of that.
Right.
I mean, this statement here makes it all clear. He says, it is only the property using the God-given senses for the purposes for which they are intended that man can rise to divine heights. So he says, the senses are given so that man can rise to divine heights. Ultimately, that is the purpose for which the senses are given. You know, in this context, there is this beautiful shloka from Bhajagovindam. And the last shloka of Bhajagovindam, where it's kind of a blessing and a boon that Adi Shankara is giving to everybody,
right,
like this disciple. So he says, Guru Charanam Bhuja Nirbhara Bhaktaha Samsarad Achirad Bhava Muktaha Sendriya Manasa Niyama Devam Drakshasi Nija Hridayastam Devam.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, to the disciple who is seated at the feet of the Guru, that only with a disciplined mind and controlled senses,
mm-hmm,
only with, that's what he says, Sendriya Manasa Niyama Devam. So with a disciplined, with a controlled mind and disciplined senses, you can experience the indwelling Lord, the Lord who is dwelling in your heart. So that's what it's kind of the ultimate thing, and that comes at the end of the Bhajagovindam.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, even at that stage, only through the control of senses, you can experience the Lord living in your heart. from what Swami says, that is the ultimate purpose for which the senses are given. And then he speaks a little bit about the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And in many contexts, Swami has spoken about the tongue.
Right.
He quotes, Saint Jayadeva,
mm-hmm,
whom Swami quotes, says, Jihve Rasagye Madhura Priyatvam.
Mm-hmm.
There is a padyam that he sings. And basically it says that, O tongue, you are actually given to sing the sweet name of the Lord, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti.
Mm-hmm.
So you should sing such names of Govinda Damodara. Why are you not doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And tongue, he says, is the only sense organ that has a dual function.
Right.
Like the eyes, the nose, the ears, they have a single function. The tongue has to taste, and it is also involved in speech.
I think more than having dual function, it has the both functions which it has can draw you into problem.
That's true.
You know, two dangerous portfolios are being handled by the tongue.
Very dangerous. And it's amazing because to say the tongue is one of the, it has no bones in it.
Right.
It's one of the organs that has no bones.
Often says that.
Yeah. So it can turn any way, this way or that way. But the interesting thing here is, both food and speech require to be controlled. And I think in the previous discourses when Swami was mentioning about the body,
mm-hmm,
he spoke about having sattvic food,
right,
and sattvic ahar. And then now when you're talking about the tongue, the other function is speech. And he says backbiting and talking ill about others. All these are very common.
Even as Swami was saying this, I was reminded of a very nice incident which happened in Swami's residence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was this one elderly gentleman,
okay,
who was working in the Central Trust.
Mm-hmm.
He used to come and report to Swami every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was known for his strictness and his sternness.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, very straightforward. And
mm-hmm,
people used to shiver to, interact with him.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami had known this. Swami had known this person is known for his, a very, very strong personality.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day Swami wanted to ask about him to the boys who were there inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Swami started the topic. It seems this person is very strict.
Mm-hmm.
People are scared of him. It seems he's very rude,
mm-hmm,
in speaking to people.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami wanted to see what the boys will tell.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami looked at one boy and asked him, what do you think? Is he like that?
Mm-hmm.
So he knew the answer.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that person was like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot tell that to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So this person said, Swami, I work in the university, okay, because I'm in the institute as a lecturer.
Mm.
So I don't know how he is in the Central Trust.
Mm.
So he escaped. Okay. Then Swami said, who works in the Central Trust? There was another boy who was working in the Central Trust. So Swami looked at him, you tell me, is he like that? You work in the Central Trust. So now this boy was in the spot. Okay, so he couldn't escape. So he said, Swami, I'm here most of the time serving you. You know, when I go to the Central Trust, he comes to the interview room. When he's, you know, when he goes to the Central Trust, I come and serve you here. Swami was so happy with that because, you know, Swami said, this is what is required, you know, that yukti. Because Swami was testing them to see that, you know, when given, even given that opportunity, are they taking to backbiting?
That's a very dangerous habit.
I think on many occasions Swami has done this. You know, when the person is not there, Swami would try to ask and see what is the response to that person.
I think somewhere or the other Swami has mentioned the four faults of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I think amongst them is backbiting and speaking lies and then speaking too much. So he has always insisted that talk less.
Right. In fact,
talk less.
The Vedas say, mitabhashi smitabhashi, priyamvada. The one you have to talk less, talk pleasantly, and talk pleasingly.
You know, with regards to backbiting, you know, which we all are very adept in, Swami would say, suppose somebody is talking to you, and you are not comfortable with the way he is talking.
Okay.
You are angry, you are upset with how he is handling and how he is talking. Now, if you go and tell another person this person told like this, then don't you think that the other person also will be hurt? Because you were hurt when you heard this from this person. So why carry it and go and tell to the others and don't go and broadcast? So you are in turn hurting many others by telling this. So he says, refrain from talking. So this backbiting culture, so he says, refrain from doing that. Because you are hurt. And if you go and tell others, they will be hurt as well.
There's that incident in the life of, I think, Mahatma Gandhi. When he is traveling to London, I think, in a ship. Where a Westerner comes and starts abusing him verbally.
Okay.
Starts pouring abuses on him. So Gandhi is just quiet. You know, he doesn't say anything. So at the end of it, that man is surprised. He said, are you not hurt by what I'm telling you? He said, no. So Gandhi goes on to say that if you give me something, if I refuse it, what happens to that object? He said, I'll take it back. So Mahatma Gandhi said, that's exactly what I'm doing. You're giving me some things which I don't agree with and which I don't want also. It's so unpleasant. So why will I take it? You know, talking about the senses, the sense of the hearing. Because most of us actually, the first disturbance in the mind comes because of what we hear. No, we cannot accept things which are unpleasant about us, things which are unpleasant about things we like. So it starts with the ear. You know? It's a beautiful incident where Mahatma Gandhi said, if you do not accept, then why take it at all?
Correct. that's the easiest way out. It's like a gift. When it's given to you, give it back.
Right.
I don't want your gift. So here, then Swami goes on to talk about, he's just comparing it with the wives, number of wives.
And the beautiful thing is, you know, even as Swami is talking about those wives, first thing Swami says is, they are like horses yoked to the chariot. Okay? And then Swami is talking about the problems you will have with multiple wives.
Correct.
Interestingly, you know, if you just see the contrast, Swami is saying, treat your senses like horses. Horses are subservient creatures. You use them for your purpose.
Correct.
Okay. But wives are equals. We are taught to treat wives as equals. Swami says, Ardangi, that is the word for wives. It also brings in the idea that you are treating senses as your equals. Swami says, treat your senses like horses.
Correct.
They are horses yoked to the chariot. But you're giving them the importance of a wife, and not only one wife, you have multiple wives.
Oh, that's a very beautiful point. Yeah. And he talks about Uttanpada and Dasharatha.
Right.
He says, with three wives, Dasharatha had a tough time.
Right.
And our mind has got 10 wives. That is the Pancha Gyanendriyas and Karmendriyas. I mean, the pancha gyanendriyas are drishti, that is sight, hearing, taste, touch and smell.
Right.
And Swami has said that the pancha karmendriyas are hands, legs, the vocal cords. Then we have organs of excretion and reproduction.
Right.
These are the pancha karmendriyas. So, pancha gyanendriyas and pancha karmendriyas make up 10. And in many contexts, dasharatha.
Right.
So, he would say the inner meaning is 10 horses.
10 horses.
Hmm.
And you know, wonderfully Swami says that, you know, horses drawing the chariot, they have to be fed so that they are strong enough to draw the chariot.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are feeding the horses more and extracting less work out of them.
Correct.
So, what is happening is they're being unduly fattened. And we're not giving them adequate work. So when you want them for work, they're going to be slothful and it will be difficult.
So, I mean, what he says is, there are practices which people do to bring, calm down the senses. You know, the senses are always going outward. One such practice, interesting practice, is the chanting of Omkara. You know, in the morning before the Suprabhatam, you have 21 Omkaras that are chanted. That helps to kind of divert the mind and to calm it down. So then, because that same is the case with bhajan, same is the case with omkaram, because your tongue is chanting, your eyes are imagining a form, your ears are listening, and all the sense organs are involved in something which is good and holy.
Right.
So that is a way of kind of diverting the mind.
And actually, you know, these sense organs play a very, very important role. Scientifically looking at it, we all would have read about the, you know, the Pavlov's experiment.
Exactly.
Where a dog, every time it is given food, a bell is rung.
Correct.
Okay, so every time the bell is rung, the dog expects food. So when you bring food in front of a dog, the dog salivates when it sees the food. So with repeating this experiment, every time the bell is rung, the dog starts salivating.
Correct.
In fact, every ritual which we come across in any religion is actually meant to serve this purpose.
Oh, okay.
Why do you light an agarbatti? When constantly, every time you go to pray, you have that pleasant smell. Every time you get that pleasant smell, you automatically, your mind tunes and calms down for prayer.
Correct.
If you look at all the disciplines which Swami has put in place in the ashram, about clothing, why women have to follow certain clothing, men we have to follow certain clothing. Because when you see a disciplined environment, automatically you get tuned to the ashram environment. You get tuned to what this ashram has to offer. And Swami would say, like, you know, in a discourse, Swami was saying, the same crowd, Swami is addressing the gathering, the same crowd, when it goes to a cinema hall, its behavior will be different.
Correct.
The same crowd, when it is in a busy temple, its behavior will be different.
Correct.
But when it comes to a spiritual gathering, where there is a pravachan, the silence which has to be maintained is completely different.
Very true.
So when we constantly do these rituals and these related things, which most of the time it's only the senses, what the eyes see, what the smell we get, what hearing, you know, the idea of ringing the bell is that. So that every time the bell is rung, you know, those days, as a wonderful thing which was shown initially in the initial years, all civilizations came by the river.
Yes.
But with time, the city started developing around the temple.
Oh, okay.
If you see in the Deccan region, the Cholas, the Pandyas,
Correct.
There would be a huge temple like the Thanjavur temple, you know, like the temple in Madurai, Meenakshi, and around the temple the city would come out. So even if you are not going to the temple, when the temple bell is rung, you know, you think of God. And the same thing with the churches. When the church bell is gong, you know, you think of.
You know, talking of temples, another point just comes to my mind. If you see, study the sculpture on the temples, you know, you study the Gopuram. I had just been to South India and I had seen some of the Gopurams, and even on the temple walls, outer walls, you have sculptures depicting various aspects of life, and you have sculptures depicting different people doing different things, and it's so varied and it's so different. But as you go inside the temple, you are made to focus only on that one form. So in a way, it says you leave all your sensory perceptions outside. You have all the variety outside. You can see everything. And you can see people of different forms and doing different activities and different cultures, and you know, there is song, there is dance, there is music, everything. But as you go inside and as you go deeper into the sanctum sanctorum, there is that, you know, it becomes narrower and narrower for people those who have gone to Tirupati. You know, it becomes narrower and narrower, and there you just find only the Lord's statue there. So in a sense, you know, it's focusing all your senses, calming them down, and then you leave all that outside and come towards.
Right. You know, this concept of sublimating the senses, the best example is Adi Gopikas, the way Swami explains. You know, when they hear any sound, they somehow associate it with Krishna.
Correct.
The moment they hear the gushing of the Yamuna, they think of Krishna. We spend that time in the banks of Krishna. The moment they see a bird, they see a flower, they see this one, everything, they manage to associate every sensory object they come across with Krishna. So the same senses, the same attractions, the same pleasant smells and unpleasant smells, but everything was reminding them of Krishna.
How beautiful. I mean, in that Gopika Gitam, if you go through, there is one shloka that says, who is this Brahma who created the eyelids?
Right, beautiful verse that is.
He says, because of the eyelids, we are not able
to continuously see Krishna.
To that level of...
Literally, you know, the actual translation is, what a dull wit this Brahma is,
exactly,
who has created this eyelid.
That's true.
Because of whom we are not able to see our Lord continuously.
That's true.
Wonderful. So, Sai Prakash, let's go to the next part, which is another 9-minute clip. At the end of it, we'll see what Swami has to say.
మనం సరైనటువంటి రీతిలో అదుపులో పెట్టినప్పుడే తాను తన పరిసరం వారు కూడాను ఆనందాన్ని అనుభవించగలరు.
ఇఫ్ వన్ కెన్ ఎక్సర్సైజ్ ప్రాపర్ కంట్రోల్ ఓవర్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ హీ వుడ్ బి హ్యాపీ అండ్ హీస్ నియర్ వన్స్ అండ్ డియర్ వన్స్ ఆల్సో.
అయితే ఈ ఇంద్రియములను సమన్వయపరిచేటువంటి మార్గము కూడాను ఒక మార్గం ఉంటున్నది.
దేర్ ఈజ్ ఎ పర్టికులర్ మెథడ్ ఆఫ్ హార్మోనైజింగ్ దీస్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్.
మనిషిద్దరు రెండింటినీ సమర్థంగా భావించి ఆనందంగా కాలము గడిపేటువంటి వ్యక్తులు కూడాను అనేక మంది ఉంటున్నారు.
దేర్ ఆర్ క్వైట్ అ ఫ్యూ పీపుల్ హూ కెన్ కన్సిడర్ జాయ్ అండ్ సారో విత్ ఈక్వల్ మైండెడ్నెస్ అండ్ లివ్ ఎ హ్యాపీ లైఫ్.
ఇది ఏ విధంగా అంటే,
యు మే ఆస్క్ హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ పాసిబుల్.
తుకారాం ఉండేటువంటి వాడు,
దేర్ వాస్ తుకారాం,
అతను పరమ భక్తుడు,
హి వాస్ ఎ గ్రేట్ డివోటీ,
కానీ అతని గృహస్థుడు,
హి వాస్ ఎ ఫ్యామిలీ మ్యాన్,
అతని భార్య మహాగయ్యాళి.
His wife was rather troublesome lady.
కాని అయినప్పటికీ ఆమె మనసును సరైన రీతిలో సమన్వయపరచుకుని తాను ప్రవర్తించడానికి తగిన కృషి చేసేటువంటి వాడు.
He was always making efforts in order to keep her happy and conduct himself in
మాటకు మాట ఏటుకు ఏటుకు జరిగినప్పుడే అది ఒక పెద్ద ప్రమాదంగా రూపొందుతుంది.
When you return word for word and tit for tat, it lends
అన్నింటినీ కూడా సమర్థించుకుని శాంతంగా కాలం గడిపేటువంటి వాడు ఈ యొక్క తుకారాం.
He used to adjust himself and live a peaceful life.
ఏ విధంగా అంటే, అతనికి ఒక అర్ధెకరా భూమి ఉండేటువంటిది.
He had half an acre of land.
ఏదో కుటుంబ పోషణ నిమిత్తమై తాను దానిని సాగు చేస్తూ ఉండేటువంటి వాడు.
Taking care of his own family, used to cultivate.
ఇరుగు పొరుగు వారి యొక్క ప్రోద్బలం చేత తన అర ఎకరా భూమి లోపల కూడాను చెరుకు పండించడానికి ప్రయత్నించాడు.
Encouraged by the neighbors, he wanted to raise sugarcane crop on that field.
కానీ ఏదో రీతిగా పండించాడు పాపం.
He succeeded in that. In
తుకారాం యొక్క బలహీనత అందరూ గుర్తించినటువంటి వారు కనుక అది పూర్తి పరిపక్వ స్థితికి వచ్చేటప్పటికి అటుపోయేవాడు ఒక చెరుకును కొట్టుకొని తింటాం, ఇటు పోయేవాడు ఒక చెరుకును కొట్టుకొని తింటాం, ఈ విధంగా బాటసారులకు అది ఆహారంగా ఇక్కడ నిర్ణయింపబడింది.
As all the people in the village and neighborhood knew what type of nature Tukaram had, every walker by would pick up one sugar cane and eat it up.
కడపటికి ఏదో ఉన్నదానిని తీసుకుని ఇంటికి తీసుకురావాలని ఒక బండి కట్టుకుని ఆ చెరుకు తోటకు వెళ్లాడు.
ఆఫ్టర్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ షుగర్ కేన్ ఇస్ లాస్ట్, హీ ఫైనలీ డిసైడెడ్ వాట్ ఎవర్
మోపు కట్టుకున్నాడు ఆ కొంత చెరుకును.
హీ టైడ్ ది షుగర్ కేన్ అండ్ హీ వాంటెడ్ టు గెట్ ఇట్ ఇన్
ఇంటికి వస్తున్నాడు బండిలో.
హీ వాస్ బ్రింగింగ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఎ కార్.
దారిలో అడ్డం వచ్చిన పిల్లలందరూ కూడా తాత నాకు ఒక చెరుకు, తాత నాకు ఒక చెరుకు అని అందరూ అడుగుతూ వచ్చారు.
And on the way, so many kids used to go and ask హీస్ నేచర్ వాజ్ వెరీ జనరస్ నేచర్.
అటువంటి త్యాగభావం కలగటం చేత అడిగిన వారికందరికి ఇస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
యాజ్ హీ హాడ్ ఎ జనరస్ నేచర్ హీ బిగాన్ గివింగ్ వన్ పీస్.
ఇంటికి చేరేటప్పటికి ఒక్క చెరుకు మాత్రమే మిగిలింది.
బై ది టైమ్ హీ రీచ్డ్ హోమ్ ఓన్లీ వన్ పీస్ ఆఫ్ షుగర్ కేన్ వాజ్ లెఫ్ట్.
బండి వచ్చింది, చూచింది భార్య.
వైఫ్ సా ద కార్ట్.
ఏమిటిది, ఒక్క చెరుకుని తీసుకుని వచ్చావా? సంసారం ఏ రీతిగా నీవు పోషించాలని యోచన చేస్తున్నావు?
వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్, యూఆర్ బ్రింగింగ్ ఓన్లీ వన్.
ఆరు బిడ్డలను పోషించలేనటువంటి యోగ్యత ఉండేటప్పుడు నీవెందుకు పెండాడాలి?
ఇఫ్ యూ కెనాట్ ప్రొటెక్ట్ అండ్ ప్రొవైడ్ సస్టెనెన్స్ ఫర్ ది ఫ్యామిలీ, వై డిడ్ యు మ్యారీ?
ఈ విధంగా సర్వమును త్యాగం చేస్తుంటే, పరలోక త్యాగం చేస్తుంటే సవిషయం ఏమైపోతుంది?
ఇఫ్ యూ గో ఆన్ సాక్రిఫైసింగ్ లైక్ దిస్ టు అదర్స్, హౌ కెన్ ద ఫ్యామిలీ బి క్యారీడ్ ఆన్?
అని కోపంతో నానా మాటలు మాట్లాడి ఆ బండిలో ఉండినటువంటి చెరుకును తీసుకుని కొట్టింది భర్తను.
She used all this abusive language against Tukaram, took hold of the sugar cane spin and bit Tukaram with it.
ఆ చెరకు రెండు ముక్కలై క్రింద పడి ఒక ముక్క ఆ భారీ చేతిలో నిలిచింది.
That sugar cane piece was broken into two pieces, one fell down, the other piece was in the
Tukaram hand. చాలా ఆనందించాడు.
తుకారావు వాజ్ సో హ్యాపీ విత్ ఇట్.
బండిలో నుంచి నేను వచ్చేంత వరకు కూడా నేను చాలా సమస్యలతో వచ్చాను, ఈనాడు నా సమస్య తీరింది అని.
వైల్ కమింగ్ విత్ ది కార్ట్ ఐ హ్యాడ్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఇన్ మై మైండ్ అండ్ టుడే ఆల్
ఏమిటి నా సమస్య అంటే, ఒక చెరుకు తీసుకుపోతున్నాను, ఇద్దరు బిడ్డలున్నారు, ఒక భార్య ఉంది, దీనిని ఏ రీతిగా నేను పంచాలి అని యోచిస్తూ వచ్చాను.
When I was getting one piece of sugar cane, I was wondering, how can I distribute between my wife and two children?
నా యొక్క సమస్య నీవే పరిహారం చేశావన్నాడు.
You have solved my problem.
ఏమిటంటే కింద పడిపోయిన రెండు తుండ్లు, ఒకటి ఒక బిడ్డకు, ఒకటి ఒక్కొడుకు, చేతిలో ఉన్నది ఆ భార్యకు, సరిపోయింది, నా సమస్య తీరిపోయింది అన్నాడు.
The piece that was left in the hand of wife was my wife, and two pieces which fell down are meant for two children. My problem is solved.
ఈ విధంగా కూడాను ఇంద్రియముల యొక్క ప్రభావము తనపైన ఎంతవరకు కూడాను బలవత్తపరచినప్పటికీ సమన్వయము గావించుకునేటువంటి చిత్తము కొంతమంది మహనీయులకు మాత్రమే ఉంటాయి.
సమ్ గ్రేట్ సోల్స్ హ్యావ్ ది కెపాసిటీ టు బేర్ అండ్ అడ్జస్ట్ అండ్ కంట్రోల్ దర్ సెల్ఫ్.
ఇది కేవలం భక్తి శక్తులతో మాత్రమే ఇది లభ్యమవుతుంది.
దిస్ ఇస్ పాసిబుల్ టు అక్వైర్ ఓన్లీ త్రూ డివోషన్.
కనుక ఇంద్రియములను నిగ్రహించుకోవటం ఎవరి చేత కాదని నిరుత్సాహపడనక్కర్లేదు.
వన్ నీడ్ నాట్ గెట్ డిస్కరేజ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ టు కంట్రోల్.
పవిత్రమైన భక్తి ప్రపత్తుల చేత ఇంద్రియమును స్వాధీనపరచుకోవచ్చును.
త్రూ డివోషన్ అండ్ సరెండర్ వన్ కెన్ కంట్రోల్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్.
ఇంకొకటి, విరుద్ధమైన భార్య వల్ల కూడాను తాను ఈ విధమైన సమన్వయాన్ని తాను సలుపుతూ వచ్చాడు కబీర్.
కబీర్ ఈజ్ అనదర్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ హౌ హీ మేనేజ్ హిజ్ వైఫ్ వెన్ షీ వాజ్ వెరీ హాస్టైల్ టు హిమ్.
తుకారాం ఆ విధంగా చేసినప్పుడు కబీర్ ఇంకొక రీతిగా చేస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
తుకారాం ఫాలోడ్ ఏ డిఫరెంట్ పాత్ కంపేర్డ్ టు
అతని భార్య. అతని అడుగుజాడలు నచ్చేటువంటి పాపం మహాసాధ్యమణి.
వైఫ్ ఆఫ్ కబీర్ వాజ్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ ఒబీడియంట్.
భర్త అభిష్టమే తన అభిష్టము.
షీ ఆల్వేస్
తనది ప్రత్యేకమైనటువంటి ఒక వాంఛ లేదు.
షీ డిడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీథింగ్ లైక్ హర్ ఓన్ డిజైర్ అట్ ఆల్.
ఏ ఆజ్ఞను నియమించినా దానిని శిరసా వహించి ఆచరించేటువంటిది.
షీ వుడ్ ఇంప్లిసిట్లీ ఒబే వాట్ ఎవర్ కబీర్ వాంటెడ్ హర్ టు డూ.
ఒకనాడు కబీర్ నేస్తూ ఉన్నాడు, రామ్ 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 అని రామనామ స్మరణ చేస్తూ.
కబీర్ వాజ్ వీవింగ్ ఎ క్లాత్ అనే పర్టికులర్ డే, రిపీటింగ్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ రామ్ రామ్ రామ్.
పట్ట పగలు 12 గంటలు.
ఇట్ వాజ్ 12 o'clock ఇన్ ది డే.
ఏమే లోపలున్నావా అని పిలిచాడు.
తుకారాం కాల్డ్ హిజ్ వైఫ్. వెల్, ఆర్ యూ అవైలబుల్ ఇన్ ద హౌస్?
పరిగెత్తి వచ్చింది పాపం.
షీ కేమ్ రన్నింగ్.
ఇక్కడ నూలు పోగు తెగింది, దీపం నటించుకుని రా అన్నాడు.
He said that here the one thread is broken. Light a lamp and get it, he said.
Vellindi deepam antinchukoni vachindi.
She lit the lamp and brought it.
Dagara dette inka vaddu akkara le teesukoni po annadu.
When she brought the lamp nearer, he said, no, there is no need, take it back. She took it back.
ఏ ఒక్క జవాబు తాను చెప్పలేదు. పట్టపగులే, కండు కనిపించలేదా, దారం తెగింది చెప్పటం లేదా, దీపం వచ్చిన తర్వాత తిరిగి తీసుకుని పోవటం చెప్పటమా, ఏం పని లేదా నాకు అని భార్య భర్తతో ఏమాత్రం వాదించలేదు.
ఇన్ స్పైట్ ఆఫ్ నోయింగ్ దట్ ఇట్ వాజ్ అ డే, దేర్ వాజ్ నో నీడ్ ఫర్ బ్రింగింగ్ ఇట్, షీ డిడ్ నాట్ ఆన్సర్ బ్యాక్ కబీర్ అట్ ఆల్. షీ ఇంప్లిసిట్లీ ఒబేయ్డ్ హిమ్.
కనుక ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క భర్తకు సహకారంగా ఉండేటువంటి భార్య వల్ల తాను భగవద్ భక్తిని కూడా పెంచుకుంటూ భగవంతునికి మంచి థ్యాంక్స్ చెప్పాడు పాపం.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ సచ్ ఎ గుడ్ నైస్ అండ్ ఒబీడియంట్ వైఫ్ తుకారాం కబీర్ డెవలప్డ్ డివోషన్ అండ్ ఆల్సో వాస్ థ్యాంక్ఫుల్ టు ద లార్డ్.
ఒకవైపున తుకారాం విరుద్ధమైనటువంటి భార్యతో పవిత్రమైన మార్గాన్ని అందుకున్నాడు.
ఆన్ ద వన్ సైడ్ తుకారాం విత్ ఎ హాస్టైల్ వైఫ్
కబీర్ అనుకూలమైనటువంటి భార్యతో పవిత్రమైనటువంటి స్థితిని పొందాడు.
కబీర్ విత్ ఎ సేక్రెడ్ డివోటెడ్ వైఫ్ హీ ఆల్సో రీచ్ ది హైట్స్ ఆఫ్
కనుక మన వాతావరణం దీనికి ఏమాత్రం కూడా అడ్డు రాదు. మనలో ఉండేటువంటి భావచిత్తము పరిశుద్ధంగా ఉండాలి.
Therefore, the environment cannot become an obstacle. It is only the purity of the mind and determination which are necessary.
కనుక మనం బయట వాతావరణం ఏమాత్రము మనం పాటించరాదు.
డూ నాట్ క్రిటిసైజ్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఎన్వైర్న్మెంట్ యాజ్ అన్ అబ్స్టకల్.
ఈ యొక్క భావచిత్తము ఈ యొక్క పవిత్రమైనటువంటి భావము పరిశుద్ధమైనటువంటి సమన్వయం కావించుకోవాలి.
మేక్ యువర్ ఓన్ ఫీలింగ్ సీక్రెట్ అండ్ ప్యూరిఫై యువర్ హార్ట్.
I think most of that discourse were the two stories which Swami
correct
narrated.
Mm.
And you know, we've heard this story many times from Swami, the life of Tukaram.
Correct.
And even as Swami is contrasting it between, you know, that good wife, bad wife, there's a wonderful quote by Socrates.
Mm-hmm.
He says, all men must get married.
Mm.
If you have a good wife, you will have a happy life.
Mm.
If you have a bad wife, you will become a philosopher. You know, this first statement which Swami makes in that clip, he says, you know, wonderful. He says, those who keep the senses under control will be happy themselves and will be able to keep others around them happy.
Okay.
No, because it's a very very straightforward and very practical thing which we all see, that how one person's addiction to any bad habit kind of influences and, you know, troubles the entire family or the community around. It's something which we are increasingly seeing.
Correct. Yeah, be it in terms of sound, you know, you put loud music for that matter.
And you not be the very, very extreme bad habits.
Mm. Even something like blasting something at home, you want to enjoy a 3D surround system. You blast the sound, not bothering about the person, especially in flats, you know, when people are living in. That's really...
But you know, interestingly, sometime back I was seeing an advertisement for apartments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're... unique selling proposition, you know, what was
it? Don't tell me they are soundproofing their walls.
Yeah, almost as much as that. They're saying that you will have no wall being shared with your neighbor.
Oh,
it's that, being built in a way.
Okay.
You know, if you look at it those days, you know, there used to be this Agraharam, they used to call, you know, in the street, everybody lives. Nobody used to close their windows and doors. Everything would be open. Anybody could walk into any house. You know, that was a place where everybody respected the other person's space, even though it looked like a mingling society. But now we are, you know, making sure that I can do whatever I want. If it disturbs you, we will soundproof the room.
My God, that's going to the extreme.
Right.
But, you know, here he says, forbearance and equanimity can rarely be found except in such high-souled persons.
Right.
So this forbearance or what Swami has mentioned about forbearance, he says, it is the force and power that controls, motivates, guides the activities of senses in a disciplined way.
Mm-hmm.
So you say if you have forbearance, you can control and motivate the senses in a disciplined way.
Right.
That's the... So he says, with sahanam, you can even coexist and pull along.
Right. In fact, you know, that is the hierarchy, as you were telling, the senses, the mind and the intellect. In another place, Swami was describing, you know, the four aspects of the mind, which Swami talks many times.
Okay.
Manas, Buddhi, Chitta and Ahankara. So Swami is explaining what are the three aspects, this Manas, Buddhi and Chitta, how are they different? Chitta, of course, is the impressionable mind.
Correct.
That which carries your, you know, your understandings and your belief systems and all that. the buddhi is the discriminating mind, and manas is that mind which will be drawn easily by the senses. And so Swami beautifully portrays it as the reins.
Correct.
That's the first thing which will be pulled, you know, when the senses go astray. So he says that the mind, that manas is actually the desire-filled aspect of the mind. Okay. So Swami says that the senses pull you in a certain direction. What is nice, what is not nice. There is no discrimination for the senses. A smell is pleasant, unpleasant, that's all. It's either this or that. Okay, but the intellect says that fine, it is unpleasant, but wait, don't react immediately.
Correct.
So that is why Swami is saying that, you know, the hierarchy, the buddhi, let the decision making go to the buddhi, let it not be in the manas.
Correct.
Or the chitta. So the moment, even though there is an unpleasantness, even though, you know, there is something which is not immediately beneficial, the intellect says, yes, wait, let us make sure that this is not good for us, or let us make sure that this is really good for us.
Correct.
And then plunge.
Then plunge into it. You know, here the next statement Swami says that through bhakti or through sharanagati, so that is surrender.
You do not feel disheartened with the fear that you will not be able to control the mind.
And he says, by developing one-pointed devotion and complete surrender to God, the senses can definitely be brought under control.
Right.
You know, several times Swami has used this analogy of telling that the mind is actually like a small child. You know, when the mother is walking on the road with the child is so fascinated. The mind and the senses is like a child. We try to see everything around and it gets attracted. So the mind keeps trying to go this side, that side, this side, that side. And what happens is the mother is absolutely confident because she has complete control over the child. And the mother looks at the child and allows him to go. So they are walking and then the child is running ahead. The mother allows him to run. But she knows when to go and catch him by the hand and just, if he's crossing his limit, if he's going on to the main road, she would immediately rush and catch him and protect him. So this can be seen in two ways. So Swami says, look at the mind. When you look at the mind and you know it is going in various ways, you should go and catch it. This is if you identify yourself with the mother. Okay. If you identify yourself with the child and God as the mother, it's the other way around. The child has 100% surrender to the mother.
Wonderful.
No? The child has 100% surrender. The child is absolutely not bothered. If the child can run anywhere. The child can go what? Because he knows that when I'm going to get into some danger, my mother is there. So because the child has 100% surrender to the mother, he is free.
Beautiful. I was just reminded of what Swami had told one devotee. Of course, we have heard Swami saying that equanimity, pain or pleasure. But to this devotee, Swami told something very different. It, you know, I can place it in context when you tell this analogy. So Swami says that when I give you happiness, enjoy it. When I give you pain, suffer it. You know, feel bad. You cry. If you want to cry, you cry. But between, even as you go through these two, remember that I am taking care of you.
Correct. That is Sharanagati.
Right.
That is
like this. My like the very analogy which you gave. The child runs.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't discriminate. Is it right or wrong? It runs because it knows that there's
the
somebody
mother
to put
there.
Me. You know, wonderful. Swami only can.
I heard from one of the devotees that in a session in the interview room, one devotee asked Swami, people say that the best way is to surrender to you. But I find it very difficult, Swami. How to actually, practically in day-to-day life, how to surrender to you? Then Swami pulled his leg. He said, see, all those who talk of surrendering, don't think all of them have surrendered. Okay. But he says, there is a very, very simple and easy way to do that.
Okay.
He says, just believe that Swami is omnipresent.
Okay.
Just believe. And live it. So automatically, you know, you're seeing this and is this good for me? Will Swami Allah? Swami knows what I'm doing. Swami knows what I'm seeing. Swami knows what I'm hearing. Swami knows what I'm tasting. Swami knows everything. So in that constant state of, you know, awareness that Swami is omnipresent, automatically your senses will be sanctified. Automatically, you know, your senses will be drawn towards Swami. So he just says, just believe that Swami is omnipresent, that He is always there. watching you, with you. Then automatically your senses would be sanctified. That's exactly what he said about the gopis. You know, right, he said the gopis exactly associated every sense of their
sublimation of the senses and the objects around.
So,
and you know, when Swami says that when you develop one-pointed devotion and complete surrender, it's I'm reminded of one forward which I got some time back, maybe 4 or 5 years back. There was a picture of a very beautiful flower. Okay, very beautiful flower, and you know that bouquet effect when you which you get when you take a picture. The background is completely blurred, and you know, this wonderful clarity of the flower, very beautiful flower. And the caption went on saying that, you know, world is like this, it's very beautiful. Okay. And then there was a lines which followed. He says, but make sure that your focus is correct. Okay. And the next picture was, this flower was absolutely blurred. Okay. And you know what was in the background? It was Swami's feet. Okay. This was a picture taken of the flower which was in front of Swami's feet. But it was taken so well that Swami's feet was absolutely, you know, not seen, but the flower was seen. So the message read, the flower is very beautiful. But if you focus correct, the Lord's feet is there. In enjoying this beauty, you are actually missing that the Lord who is there. You know, that focus is so important. There's a very famous story which comes from the life of Panini, you know, the father of Sanskrit grammar. You know, when he is a student in the Gurukula, he seems to, he, you know, he stood out because of his focus in his studies. So there is one incident, the incident which actually told the guru that this man, this boy is going to be one of the greatest scholars the land has seen. You know, the Gurukula system of those days, the husband and wife used to take care of the children. Like, you know, you have to go and stay in the guru's house. The wife of the guru actually cooks for the children, just as she cooks for her own children, and she feeds them. And so they used to have this, literally a batch system. They all used to come, eat their food and go back to their lessons. So one day when Panini had come for lunch, and all the while he was sitting and he was thinking about his lessons. So he was going on thinking the lessons and recapitulating what he had learned.
Basically, one and a half, right?
Okay, and he didn't realize that he actually went and sat next to the stove. And in that state of being lost in his studies, it seems he picks up the charcoal and starts eating it. Thinking that it has been served for him. Okay. And he starts eating it, and in the midway, the mother of, I mean, the wife of the guru comes, Guru Mata, right? So she comes to say, what are you doing? Silly boy, you're eating charcoal like that. So he says, I don't know, but my stomach is full now, I have to get back to my studies, and he goes. You know, so the wife is so disturbed by it, you know, this boy, he's not even thinking about what he's eating and all that. So she goes and tells the guru, you know, this scene happened. So the moment the guru hears that, he says, watch out, this boy is going to be something totally different. Because his focus in studies is so much that his senses are totally obliterated, removed from the picture completely.
You know, actually, it's kind of stretching the whole analogy. But I am really tempted to bring this to the notice of our listeners. I'm sure all those who have experienced a darshan session, or, you know, an interview with Bhagwan, the perfect control that Swami has on his eyes. No, the when he sees, you know, because there are times when you want Swami to look at you and you want him to smile, you want, and he will look till the previous person just jump you and go. Means it is not the case. That I found very, very unique. Because oftentimes, you know, when we are sitting in the bhajan hall and you see Swami sitting on the throne, there are times when you really see Swami has not even blinked.
Right.
You know, Swami's... So, in a sense, Swami had perfect control over his... I mean, he has perfect control over everything. But he just showed it. He demonstrated it to us. And perfect control over what he's looking. When he wants to look there, he will look. It's not like our eyes, it just scans the entire, you know, whatever is around, we look at everything. For Swami, of course, because he knows what is there, he will decide and then look. And that is something which is amazing, and which we can never forget, that characteristic, you know, Swami is just scanning through everybody, suddenly jumps one person.
Right, Swami used to say that very often, I don't waste a look. I don't waste a word.
Correct.
You know, for all those who sometimes believe, you know, we look at Swami and why is Swami talking to that person? You know, why is Swami wasting time? Literally people used to say, but Swami would often say that not a single word of mine will be wasted. Waste a single word.
Very true.
I don't waste a single look.
See, he talks about controlling the senses and he talks about forbearance as well. You know, forbearance is when you, you know, when you control, when you are able to calm down the senses and when you accept. You know, there is this beautiful story of Prophet Muhammad when he is going out to preach. And there are people who are jealous naturally, and although many people listened to his teachings, there were people who were really against him. So there is this old lady on the first floor of the house. Every time he would pass by, she would collect all the dust and then pour it on Prophet Muhammad. And he never looked up, he never complained, he never did anything. He would just dust his dress off and go. And on one particular day, that shower of dust did not come. So he thought possibly she is still asleep, and he went ahead. But the next day, again the shower of dust did not come. So then this got him thinking, and he actually went up to the house. And looking at him, she was a bit alarmed. She thought he would take her to task.
Right.
Because this was a daily ritual. But instead he said, what happened to you? I did not get my customary shower of... So she was taken aback, and then with his love and his real concern for her, he took care of her, he brought her medicine, and he till she was actually cured. That transformed her. That transformed. So that forbearance to bear, to be able to bear all this and then still go ahead. So that is one way of also sublimating the senses.
Wonderful. So that really was an informative discourse, and you know, it just comes to know that when you sit and listen to Swami's discourse, there is so much in it.
That's true.
And thanks to this program we are able to do that, and thanks to Swami for inspiring us to take up this program. And dear listeners, it is really a very, very fulfilling thing to do this program, sit and listen to this discourse and to recollect it. We do hope that you too are benefiting from this and you too are enjoying with this format. If you have any comments, if you have anything to share with us about these discourses, do write to listener@radiosai.org. The time now is well past 8:30. Bishu is going to be taking you through the segment Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. But that is not before we offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and thank him for this opportunity. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned. Happy listening.